God, who is worthy of eternal praise, and we are grateful to Him for His mercies that allow us to be back with you this day. We trust that as we together look to the Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified, that our God would be honored and His people edified, as well as those who do not know Him caused to look to Christ, brought to look to the Savior. I want to ask you, please, to take your Bibles with me and turn in them to the book of Revelation. I'd like for us to read together this morning as we look together to God's Word. I'd like for us to look to chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation, a familiar portion of God's Word, I believe, and yet one that I think again and again merits our attention, our revisiting, as we think of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to read together these two chapters, Revelation 4 and 5, as we look together at what John, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reveals of the glory of Christ here. By way of the title, we would give you this, borrowing from the words of a song of more recent days, Hallelujah, Praise the Lamb. Or, if we could just give you another title, that would be one word, Worthy. Worthy. May we look together, beginning in Revelation chapter 4 at verse 1 and read through the end of chapter 5, please. John records by inspiration, After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard us saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. May we just pause together, please, and ask of our God that he might grant his blessing through his word. Father, we ask you in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus the Lamb that you would grant blessing to your word today, that you might exalt your darling Son, that worthy Savior of sinners, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his worthy name with thanksgiving. Amen. As we look at these words of Revelation chapters 4 and 5 this morning, again by way of a title, I would give you Hallelujah, Praise the Lamb, for that indeed seems to be the focus of these words of Revelation, especially chapter 5, but chapter 4 leads to that thought. We also would give you by way of a title Worthy, for we see that that is what really occupies these two chapters, the praise of our worthy God in chapter 4, and the focus particularly in the Godhead, the praise of the worthy Lamb in chapter 5. Heaven, it seems, as we look at chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation, is consumed with worship. It is occupied with one focus, with one united occupation, and that occupation is praising, worshiping our God who is worthy. And that is what is presented in chapters 4 and 5. We want to think together about the portion, though, as it unfolds from the pen of John, written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. John has already seen the glorified Christ in a vision in chapter 1. And then in chapters 2 and 3, the glorified Savior gives to John a word for the churches, seven of the assemblies there in Asia Minor, what we know as modern-day Turkey. John receives a letter from the Lord Jesus for each of them, or specifically designated for the angel of those churches. And then in chapter 4, the Lord Jesus gives a word to John to come up heavenward. And as John is called there, the Lord Jesus says, "I will show you things which shall be hereafter." We see the revelation of Jesus Christ as this book is introduced in chapter 1, verse 1. It is unfolding here as our Lord Jesus reveals, as it is spoken there in that opening chapter, he reveals what God has shown to him for his servants. And that's what unfolds, continues to be seen here in chapter 4. But we see also another aspect of the revelation of Jesus Christ, as this book is called. Not only is it a revelation which our Lord gives to John for his servants from the Father, but it is also, in so many respects, a revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord himself. That is, not only is it our Lord who is unveiling in Revelation, but we see, I think, especially here in chapters 4 and 5, that it is our Lord who is unveiled. It is our Lord who is revealed in the glory and greatness that is his as Redeemer, as Savior, as Mediator. May we today be enabled to see him. May by faith we be able to behold through the printed word. May we be able to behold the living word, our Lord Jesus. And we look at the words of Revelation. I want you to notice, please, first of all, in chapter 4, the adoration of God. Notice, please, with me, what is said as John is summoned heavenward and he sees some glorious things. The Lord Jesus is going to unfold for him those things which are to be after the things that are. We understand that to refer to the church age, to the churches, to the assemblies of our Lord, the things that are. The Lord Jesus dealing with his churches, trimming our wicks, causing us to shine for his glory. But after these things are to be those other things. Lord Jesus is going to reveal those to John. But as he does so, as he makes known those things which will be after the things that are, as our Lord does that, some other glorious things are seen. I want us to notice them together, please. I would ask you to look with me in chapter 4 as we notice the adoration of our God. I'd ask you to notice the person of our God as revealed there. In the words of verse 2, as John gives us that introduction, hearing the trumpet voice of our Savior calling him to come up heavenward, John writes in verse 2, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald." I would ask you to notice the person of God as John depicts it there in chapter 4 of Revelation. We see, first of all, the sovereign God. He is the focus of praise, as we'll see later, but we see his person presented as John speaks of seeing, first of all, in heaven, as he's caught up there immediately after that voice speaks to him. He sees a throne set in heaven, but then he adds, "and one sat thereon." John sees one of those emblems that in the world of John, but even in our world today, one of those emblems that marks kingship. He sees a throne. And as he sees that throne, he also sees one seated upon it. It's not, if you will, unoccupied. That's good news for the hearts of God's people, isn't it? To know that the throne of God is not vacant. To know indeed that our God is seated there. John sees the sovereign God. He sees the one who is enthroned in glory. Now, John's not the only one to mention a throne, you'll know. Some of you recall throughout Scripture, the prophets of old spoke of our God as enthroned because he is king. That's how Ezekiel sees him in that glorious vision in chapter 1. That's how Isaiah saw him as he writes in chapter 6, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And Isaiah speaks of him in that regal imagery, in those pictures of kingship. Why? Because our God is king. And John here is reminded of that. Micaiah ben Imla, in that vision that 1 Kings 22 records, sees the Lord in the same way as he comes before two kings, Ahab and Jehoshaphat. He makes it clear there's a greater king who's seated, a greater king who's enthroned. His kingship surpasses the kingdoms of this world. Daniel presents that as well as he speaks of the one whose dominion is forever and ever, whose kingship will know no end. And he speaks of it as the enthroned Ancient of Days in Daniel chapter 7. This is the one that John sees as well. As he speaks of the person of our God, he speaks of the sovereign. The one who reigns as king. The one who is high and lifted up. And as John speaks of him there, I'd remind you of a statement that Brother Spurgeon made as he spoke of the doctrine of God's omnipresence. He said there are some who believe in the doctrine of God's omnipresence, but they want God to be everywhere but on his throne. That's a point well made. And yet it's a point that won't stand because the truth is, as John sees it, our God is a God who's enthroned. But John speaks not only of God as sovereign in his speaking of the person of God here. He also makes reference of seven spirits. I'd ask you to notice that, please. In the words of verse 5, we read of the throne, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which were the seven spirits of God." Now, those seven spirits have been referred to earlier in Revelation chapter 1. As John sends greetings to the seven churches of Asia, he refers to the seven spirits as he gives those greetings in verse 4 of chapter 1. I believe the reference to the seven spirits is a reference to the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is with the Father and the Son, one eternal God. And yet the reference to the seven spirits, I believe, is drawn from the book of Isaiah. Seven, of course, is the number of fullness. And it refers to the deity of the Spirit of God. It refers to the fact that in his person, the Holy Spirit is God. Now, those seven spirits are referred to back in Isaiah. You may turn with me if you'd like. You don't need to, but in Isaiah chapter 11, listen to the words of the prophet as he makes reference to these seven spirits as they would rest upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 11, we read these words in verse 1, spoken of our Lord Messiah, Jesus. Isaiah 11, verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. This is spoken of our Lord Jesus, Messiah. And it said the Spirit will rest upon him. But as we read Isaiah's unfolding of the Spirit, it is the sevenfold Spirit of the Lord. And we believe it's this that by inspiration John makes reference to from Isaiah 11:2. The words that speak of the sevenfold Spirit of the Lord. The one who has the Holy Spirit of God possesses deity. He possesses Godhood in himself. And as John speaks of the person of God in Revelation 4, he makes reference then to God on the throne, a reference we understand to the Father. He makes reference to the seven spirits before the throne, which are likened to seven lamps, a reference to the Holy Spirit. By the way, the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits are referred to as the seven lamps before the throne. May I remind you that earlier in Revelation, the churches are called the candlestick, or the lampstand, if you will. You and I, though, as the lampstand, we don't provide the light. The Holy Spirit is the one who is the lamp, burns through us to the glory of God. We need the Spirit's enlightenment. We need the Spirit's empowerment if we would shine for our Lord as his light, his lampstands in the world. As John speaks then of the person of our God, as he records for us the adoration of God in chapter 4, he also speaks of the praise of our God in this chapter. If you would notice, please, as we've spoken of the sovereign God and the seven spirits, notice in verse 4 the reference we see to the saints there. Notice the words of Revelation 4:4. John records, "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Here we see a reference to some who are mysterious to many in the book of Revelation. I don't believe there's any great need for mystery about who they are, though. The 24 elders here, elders I believe drawn from the Old Testament, just as Moses was told to take 12 elders to represent the tribes before God, so we have here 24 elders. We mentioned 12 elders, the 12 tribes of Israel. We would mention as well, as Revelation 21 does later, 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. Guess what? 12 plus 12 equals 24. And I believe we have reference here to nothing less than redeemed humanity. Those saved by grace from the tribes of Israel, from the church, that is the united people of God, redeemed, as we see later in Revelation chapter 5, redeemed out of the kindreds and tribes and peoples of the earth. We have here then, if you will, the saints. As John refers to them, though, they are engaged in the praise of our God. I believe they could also be identified with that sea of glass before the throne that verse 6 refers to. They're representative of that at least. That sea of glass is referred to later in Revelation 15 as our God is praised again. We see not only, though, these saints, we also see in verses 6 through 8, a special order of being that we would identify as the seraphim. Notice, please, the words of John again in verse 6. John says, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." As John speaks of this exalted order of angelic being here, we understand them to be the seraphim, as they're called in Isaiah chapter 6. They're also spoken of as cherubim in Ezekiel 1. But they're an exalted order of created celestial being or angel. They're an exalted order who have one business about their lives, one business that occupies their being,
And that is without intermission and without interruption. They cry constantly, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." They veil themselves in the presence of this God, as though they say by their veiling of themselves, "We are not worthy to look upon this exalted being. We are not worthy, though engaged in his praise, we are not worthy to behold him."
Such, brothers and sisters, is the praise of our God we see in Revelation. This high order of angelic being, before the throne they veil themselves. They seem to be representative of the whole created order, for the faces they have, man, the crown of creation, the lion, the king of the wild beast, if you will, ox, the strongest of the domesticated animals, and then the eagle, the king of the air. It seems they represent the whole of the created order, and as they do so, they bow and praise to the living God as they cry out his worthiness and his holiness. But not only that, those saints, the 24 elders, representative of the redeemed, as those four beasts, those four living creatures engaged in giving glory to God, we see this, verses 9 through 11 of Revelation 4. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." As those exalted beings praise God, and they never interrupted in doing that, the 24 elders join in praise. But as they do so, they cast their crowns before the God who's on the throne. Let me say, sometimes I hear songs and I appreciate them, and they'll talk about us laying our crowns at the feet of Christ. But I want you to notice the word in the book of Revelation is a little more violent than that. We don't lay our crowns at his feet. We cast them. The Greek word is balo. You could translate it, they threw them at his feet. Why? Because those elders want there to be no mistake about it. All the glory, all the honor, all the blessing, all the praise belongs to God. And so it is, they throw their thrones at crowns at his feet, as though to say, to him be all honor by their action, to him be all glory by their work, by their deed, to him be all praise. I want to ask you to move quickly with me to Revelation chapter 5. And if you would, notice with me here the adoration of the Lamb, or excuse me, the accomplishment of the Lamb in verses 1 through 7 of Revelation 5. As John has given us this glorious scene in heaven of God and his praise, immediately John's attention is turned in chapter 5 to something that is in the right hand, in the grasp of the right hand of the one who's seated on the throne. Let's notice the scene, please. Verses 1 and following of chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. It would be what we would call an epistograph. It's got writing on both sides, and it's sealed as well with these seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. As John speaks of this book, his attention is riveted to the right hand of the God who's seated on the throne. And he says there's a book in his hand. And many of them debated and argued what this book is about, but simply put, I believe it is the book that speaks of the pleasure of the Lord that is in creation. For thy pleasure, verse 11, chapter 4 says, for thy pleasure all things are and were created. It's the pleasure of our God that is there. His will for the earth, his purposes for man, all that he has purposed to bring to pass, all that is outlined in Revelation, all, if you will, that's outlined in Scripture, is found, if you will, encapsulated in this book that's in the hand of God. And as that book is there, there's no one, as the cry is given, the challenge is set forth, it's issued, the challenge. Who is worthy to open the book? Who's worthy to read it, to loose its seals and to read it? And as that challenge is ushered forth, the word comes back, there's no one found. No one found worthy. Let me tell you, that's true. No angelic being's worthy, because even that exalted order, they veil their faces before God as though to say, we're not worthy. No son of Adam born by natural birth worthy, for all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have no right to take the book and to loose its seals and to read the contents. And as John hears the answer to the challenge that no one, no man in heaven, earth, under the earth, able to open the book, as John hears that, he begins to weep. He weeps much, he says. Why? Because no one's found worthy. John reiterates the point. He underscores the fact that no one meets the challenge here. No one's found worthy. You and I are not. No angelic being created by God is. But then in the midst of that, John is told to stop his crying. John is commanded, stop your weeping. If you will, dry your tears. Why? Because there is a champion. There is one who is found worthy. And in the words of verse 5 we read, as we see the accomplishment of the Lamb presented, we read of the one who has conquered. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. As John unfolds the scene for us, you'll think with me, please, about chapter 4 of Revelation. And we mentioned the sovereign God, speaking of the Father, we believe. We mentioned the seven spirits, speaking of the Holy Spirit. But noticeably absent from chapter 4 was any reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, let me tell you, as John records it there in chapter 5, it's as though he missed it all along. The brilliance and brightness of the throne and glory of God may have been why, but as John, as it were, refines his vision of the throne, he says, there in the midst of the throne, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. His attention had been called by one of the elders to the Lord Jesus, and he was told not to weep. Behold, that is, look. Check it out. That word is used later, translated lo. One man paraphrases it, heads up. I like that. Sometimes we read the word behold and lo in our King James Version, and we forget that it's a word that's an attention-getting word. And John's attention is called to the Lamb. He's told, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. That speaks of the deity of this one who is the Lamb. He is God. For he is the Root of David. As we read just a few minutes ago from Isaiah 11:1 about the seven spirits that rested on Messiah, the Lord Jesus appeared as a shoot out of David, a rod from David. But he is also the Root of David. He's the one from whom David descended, because by him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's also said to have seven horns. A horn speaks of power or authority in Scripture. He possesses fullness of power. Why? Because he's God, I tell you. He possesses seven eyes as well. Eye speaks of knowledge. And he has seven eyes, fullness of knowledge. Why? Because he's God. But not only that, the one who was God became man. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The one who was the King of David's line, but also the one who was David's Lord as well as David's son. That one became a lamb who was slain. That one not only possesses deity, but he also is one who has died. And by his being slain as the lamb, he has done what is necessary to bring sinners into the presence of God. He has the right to open the book. He has the right to loose its seals. He has the right to look thereon and read it. He has the right to bring salvation to sinners because he has suffered, because he has died, because he has taken the place of sinners and paid the price of sinners on the tree of the cross. And as it said later in chapter 5, by his blood he has redeemed sinners to God. He has bought us back. He has paid the price, though we were sold under to sin and deserved hell forever, deserved the wrath of God forever. He has paid the purchase price that buys us back to God so that we can be his, forever his. The Lord Jesus is spoken of in his achievement here as the Lamb who comes and he takes the book, verse 7 tells us, out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And as we see that scene unfold, the Lamb who has suffered, the Lamb who has died, the Lamb who has paid the price, as we see the accomplishment of the Lamb presented there, He has the right to take the book. He has the right to do the full will of God. He has the right, so that as Isaiah 53 says of Him, the treasure of the Lord will prosper in His hand. As that happens, we see in verses 8 and following of chapter 5 the acclamation of the Lamb. The Lord Jesus, the Lamb who has achieved this great work, the Lord Jesus who has finished the work the Father gave Him to do, who has become the Lamb slain for sinners, He is acclaimed by all of heaven, but not only that, by all of creation. John gives us that picture of praise in verses 8 through 14 of Revelation 5, the acclamation of the Lamb. At the action that the Lamb performs in verse 7, praise begins, and if you will, it builds to a crescendo as praise rises to declare the worthiness of Christ. If you notice it in verse 8, it's spoken of there. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. These who are gathered there, these 24 elders, again, we believe, representative of redeemed humanity, they begin to sing to the Lamb a song of praise. They acclaim Him as worthy because He has paid the price again through the blood that He shed by which we're cleansed from sin. And they praise Him as worthy. They acknowledge that. But not only that, the four beasts join in. But not only that, in the words of verse 11, John records, And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. Notice what's happening. As the elders praise God, praise the Lamb. As the four living creatures, the beast, praise the Lamb. All angelic beings there, millions of them, hundreds of millions, join in praising the Lamb. And here we see the supreme worthiness of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I might make reference to illustrate it to something that happened back in the vice presidential debate. This is not a plug for a candidate, it's just used as an illustration. Some of you may remember in the midst of that debate, Senator Edwards and Vice President Cheney were rather sharp with one another. Senator Edwards brought up Halliburton, and when he did, Vice President Cheney looked at Senator Edwards and he said, I've been in the Senate every day, every Tuesday as president. I've been there moderating, doing my job. And he said, to tonight is the first time I've ever met you. And then he said, so noticeably absent are you from the Senate that your own hometown newspaper calls you Senator Gone. And that was the finishing touch. You see, when you say, what do they think about him at home, in other words? That's what Vice President Cheney was saying. Or may I take that and say, what do they think about our Lord at home? What does all heaven say about Him? What do they say of our Savior? They have one word they say about Him. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Ask Him in heaven, what do you think of Jesus Christ? And there's one cry of acclamation that rises from hundreds of millions of angelic beings. Worthy. Ask the four living creatures, what think ye of Christ? One cry, worthy. Ask, if you will, those elders, what do you think? One cry, worthy. But not only that, it's concentric circles of praise, if you will, there in chapter 5. It extends beyond the elders. It extends beyond the beast. It extends beyond the angels. What else is said? Well, if you will notice the close of the chapter in verses 13 and 14. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. Notice what's happening here. As Christ the Lamb is praised in heaven, acclaimed in heaven, all creation joins in acclaiming Him.
All creation joins, if you will, in united chorus to say, worthy. Worthy is God. Worthy is the Lamb. Let me say that. All creation will acknowledge the Lamb is worthy. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you know what? Those who are saved by the Spirit of God have been brought to acknowledge it ahead of time. By the Spirit of God, we've been brought now to say the Lamb is worthy and to know that we need His cleansing blood to redeem our souls. And if today you're here not having trusted Jesus Christ the Lamb, you will bow one day. You will join in saying what heaven says about Him. He's worthy. But I would encourage you, I would implore you, join in owning Him now. Join in bowing the knee to Him now and saying, You're Lord, You're worthy. Cleanse me by Your blood. Save me by Your grace. And you know what? He will do that. He will do it. Because He's good to His word and He has promised, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If you come to Christ today, His promise is He will not cast you out. He will graciously welcome and receive you to the glory of God the Father. Now you today look to the Lamb if you've not. And if you have looked to Him, brothers and sisters, in the words of the old Moravians, may we say, Our Lamb is conquered. Let us follow Him. Our Lamb is conquered. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He's won the battle. Let us follow Him in victory. Glorious victory by faith. Let's pray. We ask You, Father, to bless Your word, to magnify Your Son. Father, thank You for the worthiness of our Lord Jesus. If there are any today present who cannot join in acclaiming Him and acknowledging His praise, His worthiness, we ask You by Your Spirit, Father, to call that one, to draw him or her to look to Christ. Father, we pray that You'd bless Your people as well. May we rejoice in, revel in, the worthiness of our Lord that heaven rejoices in. In Christ's worthy name we ask it. Amen.